Over the last two decades, I've been on a quest to learn everything I can about leadership, obsessed with what makes the best leaders so good. After running companies small and large for the last 20 years, today I speak on stages all across the world to audiences who are interested in that same question. My name's John Laurito, and I'm your host. I invite you to join me on this journey as we explore this topic: what makes the best leaders so good? Welcome to Tomorrow's Leader. Hey there, Tomorrow's Leaders. Okay, if you want to know how to build and run a winning organization, this is the episode you want to pay attention to. So I have Tim Flanagan and Amanda Kramer on. I think you're going to love this. I love the conversation. Tim is the president and CEO of MassMutual in Charlotte. And Amanda is the director of advisor experience. And basically, the two of them work phenomenally well together. Amanda's kind of the person to bring a lot of Tim's ideas around culture to life. She's done a phenomenal job. And I love their story. So you're going to hear a lot about what they do. And as they're describing the culture, I'm like, wow, this is a place I'd love to be a part of. I mean, think about all the companies and industries out there, and a lot is commoditized, but the culture is really what differentiates, and they make that point. So listen to some of the things that they do that's really unique, and it's not surprising their results ultimately reflect what they've done with the culture. He has won, recognized him as the most admired CEO in 2019 in the Charlotte Financial Services area, which is a highly huge award in a highly competitive field. And they have also attained the Chairman's Award, which is really, really tough. Coming from the business, I know how tough that is, multiple years. So I think you're going to really like this. So here is Tim and Amanda. All right, welcome to today's episode of Tomorrow's Leaders, where we dive deep on all things leader-related, related to leading yourself and leading others. I am thrilled to be back here today with two fantastic guests. I've gotten a chance to know Tim Flanagan and Amanda Kramer pretty well over the recent number of weeks, and very, very highly respected in their organization and in their marketplace. Tim runs the MassMutual Carolinas organization, which is a top performing financial services organization in the Charlotte area. Amanda has been a key ingredient of that place over the last 10 years, I believe you said, right, Amanda? 10 or did
I miss it? I've been in industry 10 years and been with Tim five years.
Okay. Well, yeah. Welcome to you both. Thank you for joining me today as guests.
That's awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for having us, John. It's good to be with you.
Absolutely. Likewise. So many things I'd love to talk about and just pick your brain on, because both of you have had a lot of success in an industry that's very tough, as you know firsthand for sure. And it's all about leadership. You know, I think about financial advisors leading their clients and your roles and helping to lead an organization that helps advisors do that effectively. And Tim, maybe I'll start with you, because I know your background. You've over the last 18 years been commanding that ship, so to speak, and leading that organization to continued greatness, and even above and beyond where it was when you started there. Of course, tell us a little bit about your experience. I know it's a big question, but what do you think has been some of the keys to your success in leading an organization like that over the course of the almost two decades that you've been there?
Yeah, it's a good question. There's a few key things, John, I think that jump out. When I took the firm over for my predecessor, Ivan Heinrichs, we had about a 3-month transition period. And he had given a speech earlier that year that I was at entitled "Leave the Campsite Better Than You Found It." And that speech, along with a conversation we had in our 3-month transition around stewardship, really gave me a sense that as long as I was able to run the organization and lead the organization and in our construct, I am running and owning the organization, that I would be a steward to everybody around me and all the resources we had. So my mantra became, I'll leave the campsite better than I found it. And in the 18 years, Certainly learned an awful lot, but some of the key elements of doing that have really been focusing on the advisors that we serve and the clients that they serve, and making sure that they're having an outstanding experience with our organization. And also making sure that the employees that are a part of our firm that support those advisors and their clients are the best people they can be, and that we're giving them an environment to learn, grow, and be challenged in. And we're doing that in a way that we have shared values, shared vision, and mission of success. Ultimately, now our tagline is helping our advisors, really everyone in the organization, win at life. And you know, that's just been an iterative, evolutionary process of trying to respond to the market, overcome the challenges that, as you mentioned, inevitably come our way, and just keep the eye on the prize of, again, helping everyone win at life, making sure the organization's healthy, moving forward, and relevant.
Well, I love that. A few things that you said. I love win at life. You know, most leaders, I think business leaders, are so focused on their business, they forget, or maybe don't even realize, that the name of the game is really, it's winning at life. It's not just the business aspect. So I love the fact that that's what you're focused on. I know one aspect of that, obviously, is helping people step outside their comfort zone and do things that they haven't done before, take chances, take risks. And that's how you help people grow. And that's how you help an organization grow. At the same time, I know a lot of leaders struggle with that, of how to get people, how to help their people in their organization do that. How do you, what are your thoughts on how you've done it, or how other leaders that you've seen have done it extremely well?
Well, I think this is a classic example, John, of leading by example. Putting yourself in situations where you're vulnerable, going to be uncomfortable, putting yourself in situations, you know, where you can be authentic and, you know, share with people what you've learned, whether it's from a success or a failure. But I think that's a key piece. I can't ask anybody on my team to get uncomfortable if I'm not willing to get uncomfortable. And I can't say, you know, you go out there and do that scary thing while I stay back here and don't have to face that. So I, you know, I candidly, probably earlier in my career, ran into too many self-created challenges to stretch my comfort zone. But now really look for ways to stretch myself, challenge myself, and bring other people along in the journey. And it's not easy, because again, we've had a lot of success, and success, I find, at least for me, can breed complacency and comfort. You know, I just finished reading a fantastic book. I actually read it twice, which says a lot, called The Comfort Crisis. And it speaks to this fact of our society, which is really almost driving us to comfort. And I think we all know we don't grow in our comfort zone. We grow outside of it.
Absolutely. Such a great point. I love the point about leading by example. I think that's so critical. And that's an absolutely essential part of a leader helping people do things that they otherwise have not done before. I agree 100%. Amanda, I know your role as Director of Advisor Experience is also a lot about creating the right culture of the organization. How important do you feel that has been to the success of the organization? And then, as a follow-up question, maybe just share some of the things that you think go into that for the leaders that don't know, how do I create and kind of, or change the culture? What do I do? How do I go about it?
Yeah. So to answer your first question, extremely. So from a standpoint of how you actually do that, and just sharing a little bit more from what Tim just spoke to, is the fact that he is a very vulnerable leader in a very good way. So one of our very first interactions, as we were actually integrating two firms together, was to come at, you know, to a table, have a discussion on what are the core values of this organization going to be? What have they been? And how are we going to blend and put two, I think, very different mindsets and different feelings of coming together? What does that look like ultimately? And in that conversation, you know, we were all around this table throwing words on a wall saying, okay, this is important to me. This is important to me. And really distilling that down into what ultimately became our five core values. And Tim and I always kind of joke, you know, he had one that he was really, really strong about that needed to stay. We had a couple of other individuals at the table that had, you know, one or two they were really, really passionate about. And then the one that I consistently brought up and would not let go was balance. And Tim, in our conversation, he was the first person to say, raise my hand and say, you know, I am not the poster child for balance in any way, shape or form. So it actually really allowed us to have a dialogue around what that actually meant for us and what it was going to look like and honestly what it wasn't. And so to this day, we consistently have that radical candor environment where we can say, hey, listen, this is maybe not something that I'm the poster child for or the example for, but I am going to lead by example. And so I'm going to work towards that and have dialogue around it. And so when I think about the importance of culture and how you build it, it's really all in the shared experiences. And I'm a huge proponent of that. And if you have an opportunity to listen to Tim and I actually have a podcast called Winning Through Culture, we talk a lot about the shared experiences that we're developing and then driving in the organization, because ultimately we want to make sure that it's not just in a business realm, but that we are focused on the complete person. So we, over the course of, you know, this last, I would say 20 months, have really had an opportunity, just given our environment, to create some uncomfortable moments. So some challenges that we were able to overcome together as a leadership team, but ultimately provide that shared experience with our advisors and our associates and our staff, something that we ended up creating. And Tim has a lot of ideas on runs. So he'll come back and he'll say, hey, I have this crazy idea. Do you think it'll work? And somehow it always comes to fruition and it's a lot of fun. But our most recent was called Transformation 2020 Challenge. And we had such a great response to it that we actually just launched Transformation 2021. And it was all about growth and getting uncomfortable. But in the three aspects, meaning in a professional sense, in a relational sense, and then also in a physical sense. So we created a series of challenges that people could voluntarily sign up for and figure out ways that, you know, they could step their toe into being uncomfortable in a new way, and ultimately, you know, either build a different mindset around it, and or, you know, get rewarded for making that choice to get uncomfortable and to be okay being uncomfortable.
So what were some of these challenges? Were they runs or races or things like that?
Yeah. So we actually have five choices in each of the categories. So in the physical space, we do have one that's called it's Step It Up. So there's actually a step challenge where you can join a team and actually have a step goal to go after. There's one if you want to run a race, or maybe it's a Spartan or a 5K or whatever it is, you have the opportunity to sign up to do that as well. And then what we're doing is actually creating teams behind the scenes where people can motivate and inspire each other based on their like goals. So if we have 20 people that say, hey, I'm going to run in a 5K, that's great. We're actually creating a channel for them to motivate and inspire each other because they have that like goal in mind. And it's really neat because ultimately that becomes a shared experiences. You know, we have people that are all over the Carolinas and in other states. And so it's amazing the relationships you're able to build outside of, you know, the four walls that become an office, so to speak. So, you know, there are different challenges in those three categories. From a business perspective, you know, it's basically from a standpoint if they want to invest in coaching and really what does that look like and how can they go after and actually invest in something that will, you know, push their business forward. There's some that are more internally focused from a business standpoint, things that they want to focus on in their practice. And then from a relational standpoint, we have an opportunity to, we're actually going to do a book club this time. Tim just referenced the book that we're going to be utilizing, which is The Comfort Crisis. So they can actually join a book club. They can have an opportunity. We have a race relations study group that they can join as well. So there are different offerings. Again, it's ways for people to take that first step, make that 1 degree shift, and really have an opportunity to get uncomfortable, but ultimately with a goal for them to grow.
I love that because that's doing a bunch of different things. One is you're bringing everybody together. So it's a really great team builder. You've got accountability amongst those teams. But I love the fact that you're helping them grow personally, not just professionally. And just like you were saying earlier with Win It Life, this speaks to it. This is exactly you executing on that desire. And I think that's fantastic. Tim, as an organization, what are your observations when you see this and this has been rolled out and this is part of the culture? What difference has it made with people? Because you might have some leaders out there that are saying, that seems like a lot to be doing that much and focused on so much interest of what they're doing outside of work. But how has it helped not only who they are outside of work, but how has that translated to them inside of work?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, John. And I mean, maybe kind of give you the evolution of this. In the financial services industry, for the most part, everybody does the same thing. And it's very difficult in many respects to discern one firm or one advisor from the next. And about 5 years ago, just before I met Amanda, through a series of business challenges, I was trying to figure out how do we create an organization that's distinctive in a very commoditized marketplace. And the one thing that I came to the conclusion of, actually through an organization I'm involved in called C12, was culture. And, you know, people can replicate your business processes, your ideas, your products, all that stuff, but they can't replicate your people. And to me, culture really is about the people of the organization and tending to them. So I tend to have a lot of ideas, as Amanda referenced, but also don't always have the means to execute them. So enter Amanda Kramer into the picture in this bringing these two organizations together. And I immediately knew she's the person that can actually bring these ideas to life, which is what she's done. And over the last 5 years, working together with the rest of the team, we've really put a heavy emphasis on culture. Mm-hmm. And again, to Amanda's point, that's really the development of the people. And what it's evolved to, John, and I got this, I do Spartan Racing, started that almost 5 years ago. And one of the things that Joe DeSena, the founder of Spartan Community, has done a great job of is create a community. And that's really what we decided, again, in an industry that's commoditized, where, you know, advisors might move around firms like professional athletes do teams. And same thing with employees. You know, how do we create a place that's got some stability that people want to be a part of or here because they want to be here, not because they are compelled to be here? And that's really the transformation 2020 and now 2021 challenge was, how do we engage people's hearts, minds, and spirits in a way that gets back to, again, helping them win at life? And to your point, John, I think some people I share this with, especially in the financial services profession, think I'm out of my mind. You know, it's all about making money. What are you wasting time on that stuff for? But, you know, Amanda and many of the other people on the team, I'm a generation ahead of her and a lot of our folks. And, you know, the employees of today, especially in the competitive marketplace we are in, want to be a part of an environment that's beyond a paycheck and a job. They want to be a part of an environment where they know they're making a contribution. And quite frankly, I think that in that organization's making a contribution back to them, the betterment of them as a person, not just, you know, a professional. So It's our thing. It's what we do. It's definitely out of the ordinary. Amanda and I have a vision that perhaps other organizations will either through our podcast, and we just did an episode on this Transformation 2021 challenge and said, anybody listening wants the template, we'll be happy to give it to you, as well as some advice. It's work. There's no doubt about it. I remember when I first put the idea out there, Amanda and one of the other members of the team, Amy, drew it out on a whiteboard, and I looked at it. I'm like, well, this is too much. And they're like, nope, we got it. And it was a lot of work, not going to lie. Amanda did most of it. It's a little easier this year, I think, but it's definitely to have, last year we had over 70 people in the middle of COVID engaging in this. And, You know, some pretty transformational things happened, quite frankly, both in the organization, to your question, John, whether it was relationally, business-wise, spiritually. We had a pretty big component on the spiritual side last year. And So there's some really, really fascinating things that, again, have kind of set us apart from, you know, just another financial services company.
Well, and it's first of all, it's absolutely fantastic, tremendous job with that, because I think that's, it is unfortunately lost on many leaders. They don't understand the connection between that, and you have differentiated yourself in a huge way. And I love that you had mentioned that differentiating in a commoditized business, which it very much is. What's also interesting and not surprising, though, is that has translated to phenomenal results. You just won or have continually won or many times the best places to work, which is certainly a very difficult, very challenging award to get, because it's your organization voting. It's not other people looking in on your organization. They're the ones that are giving their honest, anonymous opinions. You've also, I know, recently been awarded with the most admired CEO a couple of years ago, which is tremendous in Charlotte in financial services, which incredibly difficult award given the competition. So it says a lot about who you are. And it, by the way, for the audience out there, it took me a lot to pull this out of Tim in our pre-interview here, because he's such a modest guy. We had to dig it out of him, but I love that. And congrats, first of all. Let me just pause and say congrats on all that you've accomplished. That's tremendous.
Thank you.
Amanda, question for you is, with all this and all the things that you do to develop people in your organization and help them take chances, step outside their comfort zone, the personal development, what have you seen it do to confidence levels? I mean, I would imagine that's a direct correlation and impact, and obviously that's a game changer for somebody, but what have you seen?
Yeah, no, that's a really great question. It's interesting that you bring that up, because I was actually just reading an article, somebody that is from my former life, and she was kind of talking about this from a standpoint of just, you know, how you make decisions. And if maybe at one point in your life, you feel a little overwhelmed in one arena or the other, you're not alone. And so she actually went on to say that, you know, when we lack confidence in ourselves, even if it's just for a moment, you really have to look around and borrow the confidence that others have in you. And so through building this culture and building the relationships, and we talk a lot about relational capital in our organization, the confidence that people have, not only from a standpoint of, you know, what they're doing from a professional standpoint, but really what they're doing personally, it just exudes. Like I got on stage a couple of weeks ago just to actually launch our new version, so Transformation 2021. And the response was, I want to sign up. It's, why has it taken you so long to get it together? I've been wanting to do this. I already have all these goals, and now I have to pick, you know, we actually asked them again to make a 1 degree shift. So say, hey, pick one thing in each category and really go after it. And they're like, I want to do all of the challenges, which is just great. That's the response that we've gotten. But really, from a confidence standpoint, you know, the amount of people that have come up to me and up to Tim and said, hey, you know, I lost 20 pounds because I signed up and got outside of this comfort zone. Or, you know, now I'm so much more comfortable on the phone doing X, Y, and Z because I signed up for this study group that you offered. It is just overwhelming, and it's such a good way to have people say, you know, I have the confidence in myself now to do this. And then too, if they need to lean on somebody, I'm here. I absolutely let them borrow the confidence that I have in them at any point throughout the year.
Wow. That's amazing. I love that. You know, and I know organizations, a very common challenge or issue, and something I get asked about a lot, is how to keep and retain their top people. And it's interesting because this really speaks to it. I mean, I've always talked about this three things that top people need in order to want to stay. They need to feel like they're growing. They need to feel like they're making an impact, and the biggest impact they feel they can make. And they also need to feel valued, and they need to feel important. And that really hits on everything. That's helping them grow. That's how, not just business-wise, but personally. It's helping them also make a bigger impact in their own life and grow confidence and increase that, which helps make impact in other people's life. And of course, makes them feel valued and important. being part of an organization that cares about them like that, like you do. So tremendous job. I mean, that's outstanding. What do you think? And this is really to either one of you or both of you. When you see and maybe step outside of your organization and just look outside and maybe some of the other organizations and even other industries, what do you see as some of the things that make you want to jump in and say, oh, you got to do that differently? You see some mistakes that other organizations are making that you know are fixable, that are maybe even some of the easy ones, but that you see them made a lot. What are some of the things that come to mind?
I'll hop in first. So from a standpoint, I shared earlier about shared experiences, but more so from a standpoint of getting feedback on those experiences. A lot of people will do, as we do, family baseball night and, you know, getting people together to celebrate on an annual basis. Maybe it's an award celebration or whatever that might look like. But I think the one thing that a lot of leaders and organizations miss out on is really hearing the feedback that people have to say after those events take place. Because ultimately there's somebody that's putting it together and there's a lot of work that goes into it. And that person, you know, really, you know, wants to make it the best experience they possibly can, but they honestly cannot change a single thing if they don't actually hear what the individuals that attended felt like, or that, you know, maybe even if it was a family event, how their family felt about it. And so one of the things that Tim and I do, and I do it specifically with the staff of the organization, and then he and I are both in the conversations with our advisors, is what do you find value in the organization? You know, we want to be your most valued business partner. And that goes down to the experience that you have professionally and then also personally, and that extends to your family. So any event that we're doing, we're constantly asking for feedback, and we're constantly actually asking for them to tell us so we can hear them. It's not just a survey that they complete. We get on a call, we have a Zoom, you know, we have an opportunity to actually have dialogue. And that is so important and something that I think a lot of places are actually missing. You know, having that constant feedback loop that's a little more personal than a survey that just goes out is really something that I think propels your culture forward.
Great point. I see leaders missing that opportunity all the time. That's so valuable and so spot on. Great. Tim, anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, I would. I think, you know, you've spoken about this in your previous podcasts and your speaking engagements, but, you know, trust is the currency that makes things happen. And I think what I see is missing a lot of times is a combination of authenticity and transparency. I mean, you know, people in our society today, I think, want to know the truth, not the, you know, social media version or the slanted news version, but they want to be able to see, you know, transparently what's really going on, and not, you know, I see leaders dodge difficult issues or try and, you know, either ignore them or explain them away when everyone is sitting there looking at it saying, obviously that's not the truth or not reality, even more so than the truth. You can argue the truth, but you can't argue reality. And that, you know, that's backed by a measure of authenticity. And I think in the absence of those two things, you see organizations kind of shoot themselves in the foot and get in their own way.
That's a great point as well. And you certainly do see that, not just in organizational leaders, business leaders, but you see it all across every type of leader, from political to individuals, to parents, to coaches, to everybody. And that's a universally applicable concept for sure. Excellent. I've loved this opportunity to talk with both of you. The time has flown here, and I'm wishing we had a lot more time, because there's a lot more I'd love to ask you. So we might have to do a part two. But let me just finish with giving each of you the opportunity. You've got a wide audience that listens to this show, all different types of leaders, from mid-level to senior CEOs, business leaders. You've got people who are not formal leaders, but just want to lead their lives better. What parting words of wisdom would you have for them? And I'd love to hear from both of you on this.
Sure. Amanda, would you like to go first? Or
I'll let you go first this time.
Okay. Well, it's a wide topic, John. I think it comes down to a couple of things. One is, develop a high level of self-awareness so you are clear on who you are and how you show up around the people, that are around you. So that's the first one. I'd say the second one is, I have to say, I'm just a guy that had a few ideas that happens to be surrounded by an amazing group of people. And I don't know anyone that's succeeded on their own, independent of being a part of a team and having a great group of people. So I'd say the second one is, pay attention to who's on your team, whether you intentionally or unintentionally form that. I was mentoring somebody recently and they kind of were sharing with me some of the people they had in their life. And I ended up being very directive in my mentoring comments saying, respectfully, if you want to be the person you say you want to be, you're not going to be that person hanging out with the people you're hanging out with. So, but in a business setting, certainly, pay attention to who's on your team and really cultivate that. And then third, as you look at who's on your team, look for opportunities to help people grow, understand who they are, what their strengths are, their desires, their aspirations, and find ways to help them achieve that in the context of the business, so that they can continually be challenged and growing and know that you genuinely care about their well-being, something you've said before as well. That's, I think, critical. And I think it's even more critical in today's day and age. I mean, we're kind of in crazy times, at least from my vantage point right now. Yeah. And giving some people some stability and some focus on their overall well-being, I think, is super important. So those are my top three things.
Love it. Excellent. Great advice. Thanks. Manna? Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. I would just add two things. So, you actually said this earlier in a conversation, but talking about your attraction value. And I think it's really important that as a leader, you figure out who you are and don't try to be anything other than that. Really, lean into what your unique gifts are. And Tim mentioned about, who is the team that you have built around you. Every single person needs to bring something unique to the table. And it's the blending of that. And it's that shared experience to where the magic really comes to life, especially, from being a leader of an organization and building a culture. And ultimately what we're trying to do, right, is to build that community that is values-based. And I think a lot, honestly, second piece that I would add to that is the opportunity to honestly lead with your heart. So there is, we're all human at the end of the day. Everyone is carrying baggage that maybe you know about or don't know about. So in your interactions with those that are around you, or whether it's a client or an associate or a prospect or whoever it might be, really making sure that, again, you have that self-awareness, but that you are leading first with your heart. And then ultimately the results and the money and all those fun things will come as long as you have that mutual respect and are able to build trust with the individuals that you have in your circle.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, honestly, this has been fantastic. I've loved the conversation we've had. I know this is going to be a very popular, probably replayed episode because there's so many good nuggets, great leadership lessons for people in this. So I greatly appreciate Tim and Amanda. Thank you for joining me today. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, absolutely, John. Really appreciate the opportunity. Enjoy getting to know you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Excellent. And thanks for joining, everybody. We've been here with Tim Flanagan and Amanda Kramer. Tim, the president and CEO of MassMutual Carolinas, and Amanda, the director of advisor experience, two very impactful leaders who have built a fantastic organization, award-winning organization. If you like today's show, of course, go down below, give 5-star review, and give a thumbs up, share. I always appreciate your comments and suggestions for future guests and also topics. For now, thanks for joining. I look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining us on today's episode of Tomorrow's Leader. For suggestions or inquiries about having me at your next event or personal coaching, reach me at john@lauritogroup.com. Once again, that's john@lauritogroup.com. Thanks. Lead on.